It's a special kavod to be able to come to speak to all of you. I thank Rav Chaim Schnitzler and Rav Moshe Brill for inviting me for this very important cause that we all came for tonight. Before we start, I just want to mention that there's a gentleman in the back who's making a video. This gentleman is part of one of the most incredible organizations in America. There's something called TorahAnytime.com. Without exaggeration, there are thousands, literally thousands of shiurim that are available by 40 different rabbonim. They get over 100,000 people a month throughout the world that watch their shiurim. So he asked if he could come tonight because hopefully we'll speak Divrei Torah and Divrei Hesoiris. So like this kinus will not only be a schus for the mishpacha and a financial help for the mishpacha, but it should be a schus for all of us that we come together to be Marvitz Torah L'Rabim. I remember my father, Olav Shalom, always used to tell us that it's very important to be close to Gedolim. When you live with them and you speak to them, not only learn with them, but see what they do, all of a sudden you become on a different Ramah, on a different level. So I have a brother in Lakewood, his name is Rav Kalman, and he was very close to the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yehuda Zev Segel. He used to stay sometimes Elul in Manchester, and this story happened right before Rosh Hashanah, in the days before Rosh Hashanah in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. He was walking together with the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, and every little thing he asked him. So Rav Segel said to him, "Kalman, you're not letting me live. Everything you want to know." So my brother said to him, "Rosh Hashiva, this is what you did to your Rebbeim, so I'm doing the same thing to you." So he said, "Okay, you could ask anything you want." So he noticed that right before he went to sleep, he saw that Rav Segel, right before he went to sleep, he had a pushka, he would give tzedakah, and he said a certain tefillah. So my brother never saw anybody before they go to sleep. He gives tzedakah, and he says a certain tefillah. So he said, "Rebbe, you said that I could ask, what are you doing? What's the tefillah and what's the tzedakah?" So listen to what he said. He said, "The tefillah is that sleep should accomplish for me what it's supposed to accomplish. I spend a great deal of time every day learning, and I spend a great deal of time giving etzes. But if a person is exhausted, the mind doesn't work, and the Torah cannot be so pure, and the advice cannot be so good. So when a person sleeps, I hope that the Eibishter will allow me that the sleep should make me rested, so I should have a klora cup for tomorrow." So he said, "Okay, but what's the tzedakah?" So he said, "The Gemara says that sleeping is a 60th of death. Does a person know that he's going to get up in the morning? Tzedakah tatzel mimoves. So therefore, that's why, being that sleep is a 60th of death, as they state in the Gemara, so I give tzedakah, I should be able to wake up in the morning, because tzedakah tatzel mimoves." My father always used to tell us that when you ask an Adam Godel why he does something, he'll tell you one of the reasons, but he's not going to tell you everything. And it occurred to me when I heard this story from my brother that maybe there's another reason why Rav Segel gave tzedakah before he went to sleep. When you say Kriyas Shema Lamita and you say Yeshu B'Seisa, there's a pasuk, "Ki malachov yitzava loch lishmorcha." The Eibusha said to the malachim at Zebafeln that they should watch us. "B'chol derechecha al kapayim yisouncha." On your palms, you will be lifted. What does that mean, on your palms? On the malachim's palms, right? The malachim are going to pick you up. Zok the medrash al kapayim, in the schus of the tzedakah that you give with your hands, in that schus the malachim are going to protect you. So maybe that was the reason, because Rav Segel knew that in a minute he's going to say Kriyashma, and he's going to say this pasuk al kapayim yisouncha. And so therefore he wanted to have this chus hatztoka, because that's how the malachim protect us. We've come here tonight, al kapayim yisouncha. Every one of us should give tztoka in a great way, in a way with simcha, in a way that we understand that we can help the poor family, the tremendous Talmud Chacham, and in that chus it'll be al kapayim yisouncha. I once heard a very interesting story on a Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin Dav Zayin Omer Aleph says, "Imroya Adam shemezaynoisav mitzumtzamin." If somebody sees money is tight, what should he do? Yasa mehen tzedakah. He should give tzedakah. So what do you mean give tzedakah? If money is tight, how are you going to give tzedakah? Just the opposite. How are you going to give tzedakah? You don't have the money. That's what it says, that the money is tight. So I once heard a Sfarish Rav say that when he was growing up in Syria, he once heard of a simple man from Damascus that went to a post office, and he had a package. So the post office and the man behind the counter said, "You can't send this package. You don't have enough postage." So he said, "What am I supposed to do?" So the guy said, "Because it's too heavy. You need more postage." So he said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "You put on a stamp." So he said, "What do you mean you put on a stamp? It'll make it heavier." So he said, "Don't you realize? No, that's just the opposite. When you put on the stamp, that's what's going to make it go through." He says, that's a pshat in the Gemara. It's not that it's going to make it tighter. That's the opposite. If a person gives tztoka b'ravchus and tztoka b'simcha, then he has brocha metzuya in his house. The Satmar Rebbe once said a vart that I think is the greatest vart that I ever heard in Sheva Brochas. You know, there's a Yiddish expression, the zivug zal oile yofa zayn. What does it mean that the zivug should be oile yofa? Yofa means it should be beautiful. The house should be beautiful. Everything should be beautiful the way they raise a family. But I once heard that the Rebbe said the oile, the word oile, sometimes in Yiddish and Lashon Kodesh means begamatria. Like you say, the word David is oile 14. The word ava is oile 13. So the Rebbe in his genius said like this, the zivug zal oile yofa zayn. Yofa, yud pei hey, is begamatria 95. You take a look tonight, you won't believe it. You know what the 95th mitzvah in the Torah is? You look in the Sefer HaChinuch, v'osu limikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. That's the 95th mitzvah. So what's the pshat? The zivug zal oile yofa zayn? As yedah hoi zal zayn amikdash ma'at. That's the pshat. The zivug zal oile yofa, it should be equal to 95. 95th mitzvah is also limigdash v'shachanti b'seicham. If that's the case, so tonight we're building a migdash. We're building a migdash in Yerushalayim. Because we're going to build this house by the Minzberg Mishpacha. Help get the daughter married. And the chasana that's coming up a few weeks after that. That's a migdash ma'ad. The Rebbe Dr. Zogt, oile yofa. Every house is a migdash. What a tremendous chus it is. And you know, there's a very frightening Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph, B'shoh shemachnisin odom ledin. When a person comes, achameva esrim, what's the first question they're going to ask him? The first question. Nososov and asata b'emunah. Were you erlich in business? That's the first question. Then they're going to ask, kavati itim latayra, where you kaveh, it's mine for learning. And then it says, asakta b'piri v'rivya. So the Mashah asks an interesting kasha. He says, what do you mean, osakta, were you involved? She said, kiyamta, piriya v'rivya. Just like it says, nososav and asata b'amunah, were you involved in business, be'elachai, kavati yitam, she said, kiyamta, piriya v'rivya. Zogt, the Mashah, very interesting pshat. Osakta doesn't mean the idea of having children. Osakta, loy ama kiyamta pruruvu. Elo osakta, dahainu, lahosi, yosam v'yaseima. To marry off a yosam and a yosayma. That's the pshat osakta. Were you involved in helping people to be able to be mekayim this mitzvah? You could say b'derech drush that a family that has no money whatsoever, that's the gedah, yosam v'yosayma. What does the mashah mean? That people can't get married. They can't get married because they don't have the money. A yosam and a yosayma have no network. They have nobody to read them shiduchim. So everybody, baruch Hashem, that has parents and has a network of people is mechuyev to help the yosam and the yisayma. That's a sakta b'piri v'rivya. And be'emes, that's what we're doing tonight. This is a yosam, a yisayma with lebedik parents. Because the parents can't really help them. They can help them as chus ha-toyra. But as far as finances, that's the reason that we're here tonight. Because that's the inyan of the asakta b'piri v'rivya. And I'll tell you a frightening thing. The Gemara says, Ein ben David bo achi yichlu neshama shebeguf. What does that mean? That Mashiach is not going to come until sheyichlu neshomis shebeguf. Zogt Rashi, oitzer yesh. There's a chamber. Ushmoy guf. It's called guf, and all the neshamas come from there. Every neshama has to come out of that chamber that's called guf, and then Mashiach is going to come. Ein ben David bo at sheyichlu neshomis shebeguf. That means that every time that you allow and you help somebody get married and have children, you're bringing Mashiach. You're bringing Mashiach closer. Imagine you'd be able to marry off a child like this, who comes from a large family, and Mitzvah Shem, she'll also have a large family, but if she can't get married, so Mashiach is being delayed. So that's another reason why to be involved. It's not only the inyan of Asakta B'Piri Yavirivya, helping that Yosem and the Yosema, but it's also making sure that Mashiach comes that much closer. So I want to tell you something, a very interesting story. I have a friend, he's one of the Rosh Hashivas in Mir. His name is Rab Elia Baruch Finkel. So he once told this delightful story. He told of a story that there was a bocha that was learning in Mir for many years in Eretz Yisrael. This goes back 40 years ago. And he was coming back now to America. He lived in the Midwest. And he didn't speak Yiddish well, but he learned in Mir and he was going to come back for Shidduchim. So Rab Elia Baruch said to him, you're coming back to America, maybe you want to get a bracha from Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the Mashgiach of Ponovich. He said, I would love to get a bracha from him, but I don't speak Yiddish. If you come with me and you'll be my interpreter, so then fine, I'll be happy to get a bracha from him. So he said, okay, fine. So they went on Yudalad Adar. Yudalad Adar is the Purim, but that's only Purim and Bnei Brak. In Yerushalayim it's Tezvov, so they weren't missing Purim in Yerushalayim. So they go to Rav Chatzko, and Rabbi Elia Baruch says in Yiddish, the bocha dog learns 2 years in the yeshiva, when I get strict to America, and I will have my bracha. So Rabbi Elia said, Rav Chatzko said to this bocha, nu mit was gehst du zurück? So he didn't understand Yiddish, so he said, mit El Al. So Rav Chatzko couldn't believe it. He said, nein, ich mein, was nimmst du mit? He said, Rebbe, 2 suitcases. He didn't understand what the innuendo was. So of course, you know, Rabbi Elia Baruch explained, of course he's going back with many, many mesechtas and many dafim gemara. And then when I told over this cute little story, somebody showed me a remarkable Meiri in Brochas. And it's such an important lesson in life. And the lesson is like this. The Meiri in Brochas, obviously the beginning of Shas, writes, She'yizboinein bizmanim hamiyuchodim. A person has to adaf epis nem and mit from every experience in life. And everything that happens every day, a person has to think, why did the Rabbeinu Shalala make me see this? Why did the Rabbeinu Shalala make me experience this? And he says, every yontif, a person goes through Hanukkah, a person goes through Sukkot, a person eats matzah on Pesach. If he doesn't change because of it, if he's not elevated, he said he's like the same donkey. A donkey carries wheat in the wheat season, barley in the barley season, and grain in the grain season. A person goes through an experience, he has to become elevated. Every tzara rachmona litzlan and every simcha has to change the person, every experience. And if that's the case, if we came here tonight, not only to give tzedak, avada, that's the main reason. To give tzedakah to a Meridika Talmud Chacham's family and to help him marry off his children. But the Eivishter made it that in the middle of the week we all came here together. We have to walk out of here tonight better people, higher people, and elevated people. That's the reason that we came in, not only to give the tzedakah. We're going to take something with us from tonight. So I want to tell you an amazing story. I just heard this recently. Rav Shimon Schwab, when he was a little boy, he was 4 years old. He wrote this later when he was an older person. He said he remembers how a traumatic incident happened to him when he was 4 years old. His parents, he was then the oldest of three brothers. His parents wanted they should take pictures. You know how people take family pictures. So this goes back many, many years ago in Germany. And they had a photographer. Remember how the old photographers used to have like a black cape that they put it over their camera? So he wanted the children, you know, to smile, so he gave them toys and rocking horses and blocks, and the kids were smiling. Finally, finished taking the pictures. Right afterwards, as he's packing up the camera, he begins to take away the toys. So Rav Schwab writes, he was 4 years old at the time, he couldn't understand, why are you taking away the toys? You gave me the toys. So he thought, as a little boy, anybody who had ever given him a toy before, whether it was his father, his mother, or his aunt, his uncle, they gave it to him to keep. Now this guy was taking it back and he felt very bad. He said, he writes as an adult, I remember I was so traumatized. The guy gave me a toy and now he was taking it back. And he said, as he got older, he realized that everything that we have in life from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam are toys. Why did the cameraman give them toys? Because he wanted to elicit a certain reaction. He wanted to see how they're going to react. The Eibishter gives us toys in this world. He gives us finances because he wants to see what we're going to do with the finances. He gives us a house because he wants to see what kind of house you're going to have. He gives us a wife and children because he wants to see how you're going to treat your wife and children. Everything that we have is toys. And he says, just like toys are only given temporarily, everything in the life is only temporary. Nothing is bequeathed, nothing is forever. So every single thing that we have to ask ourselves. Just like that cameraman gave the camera because he wanted to elicit a certain smile. Why did they wish to give it to us? And I'll tell you an amazing Arachayim HaKadosh. The Arachayim HaKadosh says, it says, Ki yiyah b'cho evyoin. Miachad miachecha. Miachad achecha. Dvorim tezvov zayin. Said zayin endir a'oraman. So the Arachayim says you should say, Ki yiyah evyoin in Klal Yisrael. What does it say? B'cho endir. So the Arachayim says, Omroi b'cho, the Pasuk says, B'cho perish b'si boscho. You know why Rav Mintzberg is poor? Because of us. Every single one of us is being tested. That's why it says, you're the one that's causing him to be poor. You know why? Because Hashem wants to see, what are you going to do with your money? That's why it happens. That's why, that's the toy. We all have a toy. And the question is, what are we doing with that toy? How are we spending it? If you spend it on a Talmud Chacham, you spend it on a Sakta B'Piri of Arivia, also then you're taking your toy and you're doing something special with it. That's the test. And that's again, Perush B'Siboscha Boilo Ha'oni Agodol. That's the reason why the Eibishter gives us the money, and that's why there are poor people out there. I'll tell you an amazing story that somebody told me from Eretz Yisrael. He once came here to the Satmar Rebbe, and he heard this magnificent story. There was a fellow who came to the Rebbe, and he said, you know, all the years, all the moisters, they all come to me for tzedakah. And I thought that as I get older, I'll be able to continue giving the same amount. But now I see my children need more money than ever. Now I'm supporting also my grandchildren. How am I supposed to keep up with everything? I can't give the moisters the way I used to give. So the Rebbe said, bring me a chumash. And he brought him this posik. Dvorim tezayin posik yud aleph. Seit azay. V'samachto lefnei Hashem alekecha ato. You should be happy, you, bincha, bitecha, avodecha, v'amosecha, v'halevi, asher v'sharecha, v'hager, v'ayosam, v'yamona. So the Rebbe said to him, count how many people you're supposed to make happy in the Pasuk. So the guy counts. Bincha, bitecha, avodcha, amosecha, alevi, ger, yosam, amona. 8. The Rebbe said, you counted wrong. So what do you mean? He said, count again. Bincha, bitecha, avodcha, v'amosecha, hager, hayosam, v'amona. He says, now look in Rashi. Rashi doesn't count 8. Rashi says, Arboa Shali Keneged Arboa Shaloch. There's 4 of your people. Bincha, Bitecha, Avodecha, Mosecha, that's your people. The Levi, Vageva, Yosem, Vamona, those are my people. Im Atam Sameacha Shali, Anim Sameacha Shaloch. If you take care of my people, David says, I'll take care of yours. So in this Pasuk, there's not 8, there's 4 and 4. And that's what the Rebbe said to this man. You take care of the Rabbeinu Shalom's people the way you did before. Then the Eibishter is going to take care of your people. And that's what we have to know. Of course, money is tight, and the financial challenges are greater than they ever were. But if we can take care of the Eibishter's Talmid Chachamim, then the Eibishter will take care of ours. And it's very interesting. A person has to know that we don't have our money forever. There's a phenomenal medrash. Listen to this medrash. You'll never forget it. It is so incredible. We talk about money. We talk about possessions. We talk about things that we own. Zok de Medrash in Bamidbar Chav Beis Ches. You could look it over. Lama Nikra Shemon Nechosim. Why are our possessions called Nechosim? You know why? Shenichsim Mizev and Niglun Lizev. They vanish from one person and they go to somebody else. You don't hold on to it forever. Lama Nikra Shemon Zuzin. Why in the Gemara is money called Zuzin? You know why? Shezozim Mizev and Noisam Lizev. It moves from one, goes to the other. 20 years ago, there were a lot of guys that were wealthy. They don't have the money anymore. And 20 years ago, a lot of the guys that are wealthy today are not going to have it either. It moves. Momoin. You know why it's called momoin? Matamoin, what are you counting? What do you think, you're going to have it forever? Mois. Malais. What are you making such a big deal? It's only temporary. So if all these things, nechosim, zuzim, momoin, mois, is telling you that it's only temporary, we have to hop around the mitzvahs, because we're not going to have it all the time. How many people are zoicha to give it on to children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So if the Eibishter benched you with money and benched you with finances, so now's the time to take advantage and do the mitzvahs that you can with them, because it's not going to be forever. That's what the Medrash is telling us. And I'll tell you one more thing that has to do with money, then we'll go to another topic. Listen to this with Shiduchim. Vayomer Avram el Avdei Zakan Beisai. Avram Avinu said to his servant, which was Eliezer, the simple taich is that Eliezer ruled. He was his financial executor, right? He was the one who took care of all the finances in Avram's house. Oh, that's not how the Klei Yoka looks at it. You know how the Klei Yoka says? V'nucha loymar, he says, Shemilas loy, the word Hamoisha b'chol asher loy is not going on Avram's money. It's going on Eliezer's money. Lefisha kol mishehu loyt achachemdas hamomoyin, harei mamoyin ha'ishalit alav. There's some people, they're so angizuk in the money, money rules them. They don't rule their money, they're not in control. So he says, the Klei Yoka says, why did Eliezer, why was he trusted by Shidduchim? Because he was a Moshe b'chol ha'shalai. He ruled his money, not that his ruling money ruled him. When a person is looking for money in a Shidduch, when a person thinks that money is the only thing when it comes to Shidduchim, he does terrible things. And a person who is so lohut achamomai, that money controls him, he has no control. Once he has the money, he spends it. And he has no way of controlling everything that he does. The way he lives, it's all bagashmius. Oi, this is a person that's going to do terrible things. And that's what he says. Ki yoda shuhu moisha al-kor la-shaloi ve'ein mamoine moisha boy. Not the money ruled him. Al-kein lo-yachricho hamomai lasis bavur ma'ashenu roi v'nochein. Tonight, you know how you showed that you're a moisha b'chol la-shaloi? When you write out a check for tzedakah. When you're the boss, not that you say, oh, I have to have the money, I have to have it in the bank, I have to have liquid assets, I have to be, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to survive. No, the money doesn't control you. You have to be, when, especially when it comes to Shidduchim, has to be the Hamoishel B'chol HaShaloi. So we spoke a little bit about money. But tonight maybe we should speak about marriage. It's very difficult to speak in public about marriage. Because it's very personal, and it's not a thing that was always discussed in public. But Rachmana Litzlan, we know how many Shrek Lecha Shalom Bayis problems there are. We know that when we grew up, there weren't as many divorces as there are today. And even those people that don't divorce, we know that how many problems there are. Every Mashgiach can tell you, every Rav can tell you, every Rebbe can tell you. Last night I was by the Square Rebbe, that's what we were talking about. The Finster at Tzoris. That there are when it comes to marriage. So how do you behave in marriage? Now, of course, that's hours and hours. But I just want to tell you one or two things that I really believe makes a tremendous difference in a house. And the first thing is really based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi was once walking with Rav Broicha. And Rav Broicha said, and Eliyahu HaNavi shows, you see these two guys? He says to Rav Broicha, they're going straight to Gan Eden. Straight to God. So he's wondering, who are these guys? What, they're such big tzaddikim. So then after Eliyahu HaNavi left, he goes over to them. He says, who are you guys? What do you do so special? So they answered like this. In Tainus Chav Beis Amar Aleph. They said, Inchi B'dichi Anan. We are happy people. Mibadchina Natsivi. We make people that are unhappy, we make them happy. Imagine if you have the koyach to make other people happy, you got a straight ticket to the Olam HaEmes. But the Ma'am Loye says a gavaldik avort on this. And he says like this. The Amloya said, what did they say? They didn't just say they make other people happy. They said, we are happy. Inchi b'dichi anan, mebatchina natzivi. We make others happy. If you're not a happy person, you'll never make your wife happy, you'll never make your kids happy, and you'll never make your co-workers happy, and you'll never make anybody around you happy. You have to learn how to be a happy person. A happy person has a good marriage. A happy person can make his children happy. A person that's always depressed and is always critical of the Rav, the Kehillah, the president, and everybody else around him, and his wife and his children, nobody wants to be around those kind of people. A person has to learn to be happy. And when you become a happy person, then you can help others. I'll tell you a gevaldik avort that my son said in the brachas of Sheva Brachas. Asher bora sosem v'simcha chosem v'kala. Listen to this. Gila rina ditza v'chedva ava v'yachva v'sholem v'reyos. There's eight things here. But the first things happen to be with the person himself. Gila, if you're a happy person, rina ditza v'chedva, then ava, then you could love somebody else. Achva, you could be a brother to somebody else. Sholem, you could have sholem with somebody else. Reyos, but the first four have to be with yourself. So how does a person do it? When he walks into the house, the first thing that he said should be something positive. La Pesach Chatas Revetz. David said to Kayan, the Avera, the sin rests at the door. When a person comes home from a whole day, the first thing should be something positive. I heard a great shiur today. I made a great business deal today. I heard something special in the family. Something positive. Then you could tell your wife how crazy the day was. And the truth is, you could tell your wife that when you come home also, the first thing she has to say is something positive. The kids were crazy, and the boss yelled at her, whatever it is, she'll tell you later. But that's not the first thing. The first thing in the house when a person walks in has to be something freilach. Something that's going to bring a smile to his face. She should say to him, I baked your favorite chocolate cake today. I heard something good. The kids did something good in school today. My mother called. She decided not to come. Something special. Something that's going to bring a smile to his face. Just want to tell you one more thing. Again, it's not easy to talk about, but I have a very close friend who's a marriage counselor. That's not the reason that he's my friend, but he happens to be my friend. And he once told me that after all the years that he's doing marriage counseling, all kinds of couples, from, not from, every, like Chassidish, all kinds. He said, you know when he knows when the turning point is? When somebody's able to look at themselves and say, you know, maybe I'm the problem. Because he told me a great vart, and he writes it in a book that he wrote. Marriage is not a question of finding the right partner. Marriage is a question of being the right partner. Again, marriage is not a question of finding the right partner. Marriage is a question of being the right partner. So I remember Avshalom Shradron once told a tremendous story. He told the story of a chosen in Yerushalayim. It was right before Yontif, right before Pesach. He got married. And then it came by the Seder. He was sitting, and in the soup, there was a wheat kernel. And the guy got so angry, and he started getting so upset. How could it be chometz, you know, in the table on Pesach? The next morning, he comes to shul, and Rav Shmuel Salant sees him. And he sees that he looks so sad. So he went over to the shver. He said, what's with this guy? He looks terrible. So he tells him what happened, that last night, in the middle of the Seder, the guy looked in his soup, and he saw a wheat kernel, and he exploded. He got so angry. What kind of family did he marry into? So Rav Shmuel Salant says, tell him to come outside right now. Right now you should come outside. And he tells the shamans, take him, come outside. And he takes off the strimal of this guy. And he takes with a napkin, he wipes out the top of the strimal, and three wheat kernels come falling out of there. And nobody could believe it. Because how did it happen? Because by the Oifuf in Yerushalayim, they don't throw candies like we throw. They throw wheat kernels as a sign of growth. So when he was eating the soup, and his head was down, so the wheat kernel fell out of the strimal and fell into the soup. So Rav Shalom said, from here you learn a great lesson. Before you accuse somebody else, you better check your own strimal. It's a great lesson in marriage. It's a great lesson in working. It's a great lesson in human relations. I'll just end with this little vort, and then we'll get back to the reason that we came here tonight. This works in English. Chaim Schnitzel will be able to use this in one of his PR things. The word united and the word untied are both spelled with the exact same letters. United and untied. You know what the only difference is? Where you put the I. Where you put the ich. If you put the ich, the I, in the wrong place, then chas v'shalom, it's untied. It's like that in marriage. It's like that in the workplace. It's like that in families. It's like that in shuls. It's like that in Klal Yisrael. If a person puts the ich in the wrong place, oh, then it's untied. But if he puts the I in the right place, then it's united. We came here tonight for two reasons. To be able to help this tzaddik, and to be able to make sure that the family is able to build a family. You know, the Pasuk tells us, the Gemara tells us, anybody that has rachmanis on other people, the Eibishter will have rachmanis on him. The Gemara also says, if you have an association with Tamir Chachamim, right after you're involved with Tamir Chachamim, you'll be able to see bracha. As we heard before, Rav Mintzberg from Chabin is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. If we help him, tekef l'tamir Chachamim bracha. We have the achrayas to do a mitzvah tremendous with tremendous simcha. Because when you do a mitzvah with tremendous simcha, the Eibishter gives you kol minei shefa. And I'll tell you just one more story, and we'll end with a very interesting mashal. This story happened in Eretz Yisrael 3 years ago. I was just in Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, I was able to find out to whom this story happened. It happened to a fellow by the name of Rabbi Yosef Gutfarb. Rabbi Yosef is an Elch HaYid, a tzaddik. For years and years, he always davened with a minyan. Never missed a minyan in decades, mamish. 2 years ago, the guy comes home, 3 o'clock in the morning from a chasana, and he's about to go to sleep, and he realizes he didn't daven ma'ariv. Where's he going to get a minyan? Shemesh Shabbos, Landau's. So in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, there's a place, Zichron Moshe. So he goes to Zichron Moshe, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he sees there's only one person there. So he says to the guy, did you daven ma'ariv? She said, no, I didn't have a Meirev. She said, you think we'll have a minyan? He says, I don't think so. And an hour and a half, it's Vasikin. Even for Zichron Moshe, 3 o'clock in the morning is too late. Listen what the guy thinks of. He calls up a taxi company. He says, send me 8 cabs and Israeli drivers. The guy says, 8 cabs? 3 o'clock in the morning? I don't have 8 taxis. He says, no, but I need 8 taxis. So he says, I have only 5. He sends five. Calls another cab company. He says he needs three more. 10 minutes later, you have eight cabs lined up outside Zichron Moshe. Everybody wants to know, where's the chasana? Where's the bar mitzvah? Who are we taking home? So the guy says, everybody start your meters and come into the shul. So they all start the meters. They all come into the shul. Some of them are Israeli guys. They're not frum. They don't know how to daven, but they know how to read Hebrew. So they daven ma'ariv. They daven ma'ariv with a minyan. Afterwards, he goes over to the first guy and he says, you know how much is on your meter? The guy says, I've been davening all my life. I never in my life davened in such a heilig minyan. I wouldn't take a penny from you. He goes over to the second guy. The second guy says, I haven't davened in years. I'm not a religious guy. I'm a secular Israeli. But you gave me the schus to daven in such a minyan. I should pay you. I wouldn't take any money from you. Not one of the guys took any money from him. I guarantee you, I think, that if it was one of us that were looking for a minyan, in 10 years we wouldn't have thought of that idea. You know why? Because when you do a mitzvah with a shleimus, and you do it with a slivus, the Eibishter puts into your head a certain element of atzlocha that's far beyond anything else. Tonight, we could be makayim this mitzvah of asakta b'piri v'rivya, helping the Talmud Chacham in such a way beyond. You know what the Pasuk says about Stoka in Malachi, in the last one of the Nevi'im? Haviu as kol ha-maiser al-beisa oitzev, he terev ha-beisa, b'chonuni no b'zois, you could test out Hashem. I'll open up the windows of Shemayim, and you'll have brocha on Ashir. So the Mashiach says, why in the Pasuk Malachi did they use the expression Arubois Hashemayim, the windows of Shemayim? And the Mashiach says an unbelievable thing. He says, what happened by Noach? By Noach it says, Arubois Hashemayim niftochu, that the klola came from the Arubois Hashemayim. The marble came from the Arubais Hashemayim. Im la'eftach lachem Arubais Hashemayim shemehem bo haklola le'olam b'marble k'moy shekosov Arubais Hashemayim neftochu. The same the Rabbanu Shalom that could bring klola to Klal Yisrael can bring brocha to Klal Yisrael. And if a person wants to be zeicha to have brocha, v'chanuni nabazois, you can test Hashem. You can test Hashem with your ma'aseh. You can test Hashem with your tzedakah. The Eibishter should help that every single one of us should understand that the reason that we came here is called Merachim al Abrius, Merachim al Avin Hashemayim. And if we give tzedakah, and if we give it with breitkeit and with simcha, we'll be zoicha to brochas ad b'lidai.